steps. I remember there was a popular radio announcer that had on his website a constant countdown starting from 10 years, and it expired last year. And I've got a picture here if I can ever get it up. That's the polar ice cap. Is that showing up there yet? That's a polar ice cap and a low level of the year. I couldn't find one when it's maximized, but there's no shortage of polar ice cap, despite what Al Gore might proclaim. I don't know what his new apocalypse date is. He probably has one every 10 years. I don't know. But he's at it again. He's now having leadership seminars, but now he's changed direction just a little bit, and he is including an interfaith service where spiritual leaders cast climate change as a matter of morals and justice. You see, the society now wants to equate ecology with theology. Maybe you've heard of the Green New Deal that has been in the news over the course of the last 6 months or so. I got this statement from a website. I'll tell you what it is in just a moment. It says a Green New Deal is a big, bold transformation of the economy. It's interesting. They're talking ecology, but they're focusing on the economy. It's a transformation of the economy to tackle the twin crises of inequality and climate change. It would mobilize vast public resources to help us transition from an economy built on exploitation and fossil fuels to one driven by dignified work and clean energy. Later on, they would go to say climate change and inequality are inextricably linked. We cannot tackle one without addressing the other. A Green New Deal, they claim, would take on both. That is from the Sierra Club. The Sierra Club, according to their website, they say today there are serious challenges ahead: a warming climate, unprecedented levels of pollution, powerful special interests undermining basic protections. There's no time to waste in coming together for new solutions, which is why the Sierra Club is bringing people together to build the most powerful and effective environmental movement the world has ever seen. That's a direct quote from their website, but I'm sorry to tell them what we're going to look at tonight is going to be the biggest environmental movement the world will ever see. You know, the world believes it is in their grasp and in their power to save the earth. They do not believe in a creator, and therefore, really, they are subjugated to live in fear of nature. You think about how many people are afraid of catastrophic events. People around the world are ultimately afraid of Mother Nature. Taking care of it is paramount. And really, if you think about it, it's become our country's most prominent politically correct idol. Even more troubling is the fact that the world just assumes the responsibility of the future of our planet. You know, what's unfortunate is a lot of churches today, really, in their race to be relevant, are increasingly doing the same. But we're reminded in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, that there is a group of people who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, there's no doubt that humanity has been entrusted to steward the natural resources that God has given to us, but not to worship them. They are for our use. They are for our benefit, but they are not to be idolized. By the way, whatever damage humanity has ever done to this earth, to this world, it's going to be nothing compared to the damage that God does to His creation in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. He's going to destroy more water than we've ever polluted. He's going to destroy more species of animals than man has ever caused to go extinct, or, by the way, has tried to preserve. More trees than man has ever cut down. In fact, the God of the universe is going to destroy all that is left on this earth eventually in a great big ball of fire. The irony of it is this. God's going to use his creation, what the world would call nature, as the instrument of his judgment. The very thing that man revered is going to be what, in a sense, bites him. The very earth that man placed all of his attention toward will become the weapon of judgment in the hand of a holy God. We've been looking at the different judgments found in Revelation. We went through all of the seal judgments. We are on the seventh seal, and in the midst of that seventh seal, there are seven trumpet judgments. We're going to get through maybe the first half of them tonight. If you will, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8 and read with me in verse 1 where it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, and I saw the angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that they should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up." Let's look at that first trumpet. You know, as I have studied these trumpet judgments, I've come to the conclusion that they are to be taken as literal. Now, listen, if you read commentaries, if you read, if you talk to different people, listen, I've seen everything from nuclear missiles being found in some of these verses to a nuclear fallout, and you know, I just don't see, it's, I don't know. Is that worse than the other one I was wearing? Let's try it over here. I don't think it's wise to try to take our current technology and try to filter it through what John was saying. You say, well, he really couldn't understand what a missile would look like, so it must be a meteor. No, I don't know about that. We certainly don't try to spiritualize or to change the judgments that are found in Genesis in regards to, or excuse me, in Exodus in regards to the 10 plagues that are found in Egypt. Those were literal frogs. Those were just literal judgments upon Egypt. Let me tell you, this is literal, or these are literal judgments upon the face of the earth. Now, there may be some point, I hope not, but there could be a nuclear war in the future of the planet, but there's no reason not to think that these are literal God-ordained judgment in which he uses the elements of his creation to carry out his judgment. We said that the greatest idol will become the instrument of God's judgment, creation. You see it all the time. As I said, there's nothing wrong with being a good steward of what God has given to us. But when we elevate creation to be the whole centerpiece of why we do everything or what we do, listen, there's nothing we could do to preserve the earth, and there's nothing that we could do ultimately to destroy the earth before it's God's timing. You know, as we read and we see in verse 7, it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. You know, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but in order for there to be green grass, in order for there to be trees, the rain system is still operating on earth. And not only that, that means there are still trees left, and there is still vegetation that is left. The Greek word used here for trees often means fruit trees. And the destruction of the pasture lands is going to devastate the meat and the milk industries. But I will tell you this, when these happen, especially a couple of the future ones where we start looking at the seas, food is going to be something that is scarce. But I want you might want to, hell and fire mingled with blood. You say, how does that work? Well, when you can tell me how somebody can walk on water, I will tell you how you can mix hell and fire mingled with blood. And if you try to eliminate God's power or ability by saying it has to have a rational explanation, when you start removing the miracles from the Bible, you start to remove God's, the power that God has given us out of His Word as well. He said it's literal, it's not figurative. Sorry, I'm a little behind, but I want to look at that word or that phrase, one third, a third. This phrase is going to appear several times in the chapter. In fact, it's in almost every verse. In verse 7, it refers to the earth and trees. Verse 8 refers to the sea. Verse 9 refers to the creatures that swim in the sea and the ships. Verse 10 refers to the rivers and the springs, the fresh water. Verse 11 refers to the waters of the rivers and the springs. And verse 12 is referring to the sun and the moon and the stars. But really, when you hear... Thank you, Doc. All right. Are we back up there? I want you to think about this. One third, one third, one third. It does not say about one third or almost one third or just a little over. It's a very specific amount, and that tells me that the judgment is measured or meted out exactly to what God would give to this world. I want you to think about when you're making something, maybe some kind of recipe, and you have to have a certain amount of salt or sugar, and you have that measuring cup, and you pour it in there, and you throw it into the mix. Now, it doesn't look like unless it's brown sugar, it just looks like you've thrown it in and tossed it in, but it's an exact measurement, and without that, the recipe would be incomplete. God knows exactly what is needed in order to decimate exactly one-third of whatever it is He's talking about in this passage of Scripture. That tells me that it's not a haphazard judgment. It's not something that He can't control or He can't get a handle on, but it is a measurement that demonstrates His sovereignty even through the wrath that He is pouring out upon the earth. Look at the second trumpet, if you will. Look at verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Verse 8 contains the only simile, I believe, that John uses in this passage. I think he's talking about an asteroid that comes out from space. We saw that earlier in a previous chapter. But I want you to notice where it says in verse 8, as it were a great mountain. It doesn't say that the mountains came down. It says, as it were. That's the Greek word hos, and it just has this idea of being like or as. And so it's a word picture. I believe it's a reasonable description of an asteroid. Listen, there are asteroids that are in our solar system that have been identified as a mountain-sized chunk of rock that's hurling through space, even today. One author said this, if such a rock came toward the Earth, the friction of the Earth's atmosphere would cause it to burn. And astronomers are even today calculating the orbits of those known asteroids to see if any of them would come close enough to even strike the Earth. I think this is the only similitude. We said we need to take it literally. Well, we take it literally unless John clearly says it's like a mountain. You think about an asteroid hurling towards Earth that would land in the middle of an ocean somewhere. That would make the tsunamis that hit the Philippines just a few years ago look like really a kiddie pool. And it was absolutely devastating. One creationist believes that something like that could create a wave as tall as 1,000 feet. Those intense tsunamis would create incredible devastation, not just in the ocean, but on land as well. You know, I can remember being in Italy and visiting Pompeii. That is a city that had been destroyed by Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. I walked around the ruins. I remember one place they had where they had those little shards of stone, mosaic, and it was all those little stones making up a picture. And in Greek, it basically had a picture of a dog, and then under it, in Greek, it said, I don't remember the exact words, but the translator said, basically, they said, beware of dog. And so in this ancient city, they had a guard dog. But it was incredible to see the devastation. They had a shell of a woman that had covered her child, and it had been encapsulated in that lava. And it was it almost looked like just a shell of a human being made out of ash. But I was thinking that up until the time in John's life, that would have been the largest destructive force he would have ever heard of before he saw this vision. He would have stood in great awe. Listen, we have movies and we have 3D things and we can be immersed. But I want you to understand all the virtual abilities that we have to replicate and to have an idea, we really have no idea the absolute devastation that this world is going to be going through. Where does evolution really believe that life started from? It crawled out of the ocean. Mankind believes that the womb of life is the very oceans themselves. And now they're going to turn and bring about death, corruption, decay. Listen, it says it's going to kill a third of the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life and died. It said it's going to change a third at the end of verse 8. A third part of the sea became blood. I'm just going to wait for them to pass because you're all wondering what they're doing out there anyways, right? At the end of verse 8, it talks about a third part of the sea became blood. Where else have you seen water turn to blood? The 10 plagues of Egypt. Again, it's something that's literal. It's something that is a miracle of God. I read one author, he said, right now, real estate next to the ocean is very expensive. He said, real estate in the middle of the desert is where you're going to want to live during the tribulation. There's no waves and there's no trees, all right? The results of the asteroid, the results of the water to blood are the death and the stench and there's dead whales, dead fish, shipwrecked vessels drifting up the shore. It's going to be a horrendous, horrendous sight. The third trumpet is found in Revelation chapter 8, verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. A star falls from heaven, and there's no reason to take it any other way than literally. In fact, the ancient world used the word lamps or torch to signify the burning of a meteor as it streaked through the Earth's atmosphere. And really, that's the exact word that is used in verse 9 when it talks about, verse 10, when it says that burning as it were a lamp, the word lampos. John uses the same word in verse 10 in a previous trumpet judgment when a solid object fell into the ocean. It's this trumpet judgment. The language indicates that a falling object disintegrated like sparks from a torch as it passed through the earth's atmosphere. So this object is spewing fiery, poisonous debris, which fell into the earth's rivers as it swept over the face of the earth. And someone might say, there's no way one single object could poison one-third of the earth's river. Well, if you look up a list of the principal rivers, you could come across a website like I did called infoplease.com, and it lists 56 principal rivers in the world. They range in length from the Amazon, which is about 4,100 miles long, to the Tigris, that's about 1,100 miles long. And these principal rivers supply the freshwater network of the world. In other words, this falling star could, by poisoning only a few of these principal rivers, easily affect one-third of the earth's freshwater supply. Notice in verse 11, it says, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. A word that is very difficult to pronounce, but it's absinthos. It's a word for a plant that grew in Palestine that had a very bitter taste. Throughout the scriptures, wormwood is used to speak of the bitterness of God's judgment and punishment. Several times in Jeremiah, refers to people eating and drinking wormwood as a symbol of eating and drinking the very judgment of God. But I want you to imagine this scene that we see as that third trumpet reveals the third judgment. The oceans reeking with blood and death, coastlines littered with carcasses and ruined ships, one-third of the earth's surface scorched by raging forest fires, and clean water is nearly impossible to find as rivers, lakes, and private wells yield a bitter taste of wormwood. You know, there's a big push to eliminate plastic straws from our world. I'm going to tell you at this time, plastic straws are not going to be an issue. Finding something that is drinkable to go through that straw is what's going to be the principal issue. Saving nature and the animal kingdom and the planet is no longer going to be the mission of mankind as men and women and their children just simply try to survive nature. My friends, the human heart was created to worship. And it will either worship God or it's going to worship something less worthy, which, according to Romans, as I read earlier, was created to crave. And if it doesn't crave God, it's going to crave destructive. It's a fact that what? Money? We're going to give our lives to making it. Our passion. If we worship nature, we will become the servant. Rightfully enjoy, but instead it'll become our master. And we'll live to simply, but because we are now obligated to serve them. Some of the different groups out there are trying to. One preacher said it'll become our duty to make our pet happy. And if you have, but imagine dedicating your life to the belief, earth, and then living through the horror in which that earth turns. Race. You might say, "Listen, that sounds like a tall stage out of a horror novel." But I'm telling you, just as God in the New Testament, God is prophesying the future now, only ready to be fulfilled at His perfect. Telling you, it will never be proven to be wrong. It tells us of our greatest someone that has surrendered their heart and become a Christian, than to serve us, but do not worship the creation instead of the Creator. Those prayer request cards,